This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in to 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, Nathan with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Coming up from 10 to 2, it's Mac and Drew.
That's right.
And they're going to stew you on what they think you need to know about this weekend full of NFL games that start tomorrow, then Friday, then Sunday.
Yeah, no Saturday, though.
No, that's college football.
Well, it is, but it isn't. Like, isn't this the week where the SEC plays, like, Mary Harden Baylor?
And you know, play FCS schools.
Yeah, like, so is that really college football, or is that just wasting everybody's time? Now, I know it is Ohio State, Michigan this week.
About Atlanta Tech, Bob. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, come on.
Saturday's kind of the day where you're just like, F it. I'm worn out.
Yeah.
You hit the garage and then hit the couch and you're watching like Christmas movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You are.
Or you're putting the tree up. Right. Or if you haven't done it yet, you know, that's my day, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the day of the house that's the script for Saturday is, you know, tonight you get after it. Tomorrow you kind of soak everything up with food. Friday you get up a little bit later than you normally would, get ready for the Chiefs game, watch the Chiefs game, 2:00. And then Saturday is like, all right, let's see here. I got leftovers to finish off. I've got the house I got to set up, get the decorations out after the Chiefs game. I'm a little buzz putting up stuff. And then Sunday, it's like, all right, I got nothing to worry about. The Chiefs won. They finished the AFC West. And here we go.
And everything is good in the world and whatnot. So, no, I think Saturday, other than Ohio State, Michigan, I'm not watching Alabama take on Sol Ross State University or some, you know, directional school that you wouldn't. It was a school that I did a couple of years ago, not years, 20 some years ago now when I was doing Texas Lutheran University in Alpine, Texas. You take a left at Marfa where people go and look at aliens, and then you go to Sol Ross State University, which is, you know, way in the middle of nowhere. You would never hear of them, but that's who the SEC plays this weekend. Speaking of Texas, I got a friend that lives down there, and his wife sent him to the grocery store to get charcuterie items, right? And this guy comes back with, and his wife sent me the picture. It's on X if you want to see it. Nathan, if you haven't seen it yet, Dusty, I sent this to you. Mm-hmm. And Dusty's like, no. And
his ass back.
Yeah, send his ass back to the grocery store. Gene. So the thing is, he comes back with a box of chicken and biscuit crackers, a can of cheese, and unsalted cashews.
Smash.
Ugh.
And like I sent it to you, like his ass needs to go back to the store, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so I put it on Twitter to see what people would think about this and whatnot. And some people were like, "Yeah, that's good, smash that kind of stuff." But a lot of people are like, "No. You're not doing this. This is Thanksgiving time.
That's a Richard move."
Yeah, like charcuterie, man, is not chicken and biscuit, a can of cheese, and a half a bag of cashews that you ate on the way home.
It's the opposite of that. It's a bougie thing.
It is.
It really is.
It's not
thing.
That hard. Like HEB's got a in Texas is where he was going. Right? They have all the stuff that you need down there, just like Hy-Vee does here. You're going to make a charcuterie board.
By the meat and seafood section.
Just go to Hy-Vee. They've got all the stuff. Now, he's in Texas, obviously. Didn't have a helpful smile in every aisle, clearly, down there. But
I hate to see those smiles.
I mean, but you came home, and his wife's a wonderful cook, a beautiful human being, a wonderful woman. She trusted him to go to the HEB and get this stuff. He comes back with unsalted cashews, chicken and biscuit crackers, and a can of cheese.
Mm.
Is that a charcuterie board?
No.
What would you do if somebody came home with that?
Get out. Go.
You got to go back to the store.
I'd have to give them a script of what to get, apparently. You just get like two of those meat packages, some olives, some cheese.
Well, the way you described Alpine, Texas, is there many...
Well, he doesn't live in Alpine. Okay. He lives in Houston, for God's sakes.
Oh, okay.
There's enough cured meats to serve a population down there.
You got to be ready to drop some dough if you want a charcuterie board, though.
You got to do it right.
He went in there with a $20 bill and thought he was going to get it done. That was a loser proposition from the start.
And so he calls me yesterday with his wife on speakerphone and goes, "What should I get for a charcuterie?" I said, "Well, you need olives, you need some cured meats and all this kind of." And that's what he comes back with.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, "Of course he has to go back to the store. He didn't get any Vienna sausage." Take the day off. Let's get into the script with some NFL music and tell you what we think is going to happen on Sunday. Bob, I'll go first. I'll let you apologize to your friend's wife or her husband. I think we see another clean Patrick Mahomes game.
She's apologized for him all his life.
That's unfortunate. No, I think we see another clean Mahomes game, kind of like we saw against Carolina. I think the defense answers the call from one Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he is the leader of that team in the locker room, and he wants a blowout. I think he gets it. I think the Chiefs win this game 31-6. I think Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes both become the franchise leaders in their respective categories of touchdown passes thrown, passing Lynn Dawson, and tight end catches caught for touchdowns, passing one Tony Gonzalez. They have the moment. Taylor Swift has a big smile with Britney, and they all love each other because it's Black Friday and the day after Thanksgiving. Also, I think that DeAndre Hopkins plays more than 60% of the offensive snaps. Still, no Trent McDuffie pick, but I think Chris Jones answers the Fesco call and breaks the sack. CJ95 breaks the streak with games without a sack, and the D-line finally gets back to more than just pressure. It is a revenge game on a Black Friday, where last year it was a blue Christmas.
Yeah, it really was. I think they're going to revenge that one because they're still mad about the Christmas Day game, which I totally, totally understand. Nathan, why don't you go next with your script?
Sure. I don't know if you guys recall on that blue Christmas, Aiden O'Connell was also the quarterback of the Raiders.
Correct.
He accounted for 62 passing yards that day.
He didn't complete a pass in quarters 2, 3, and 4.
That's right. I'm not really worried about if it's Jalen Watson or Nazee Johnson or, you know, whoever gets thrown out there.
Watson, yes!
62 yards is not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. We're leaving this game feeling better about the defense than we do now. I don't think you see a lot of DeAndre Hopkins. I do think Mahomes and Kelce connect for the first touchdown, and you don't see a lot of Kelce either. I think this game is out of reach pretty early. The second half is kind of ho-hum. Big focus on the running game, trying to get worthy design touches as well. I got Chiefs 26-9 this Friday.
All right. I like that. 26-9. All right. So this is the game we finally see the blowout. I am now convinced of this one. Because,
coming to my side.
Well, no, I don't need to see the blowout. Okay. I just think we're going to see the blowout. Just talking to some folks after the game on Sunday, I'm like, what was it like down there in that locker room? And, you know, I was like, oh, it was a little weird down there on Sunday after the game, right? I talked to somebody who told me it felt like a loss inside that locker room on Sunday. So I think this is the game where we see the blowout, because I think this is the game where they want it. It's the game team, fans, and Mahomes, we get what we want going into the holiday season, right? A destruction of the Raiders. Our Black Friday purchase this year is a destruction of the Raiders. So after a quick three and out by Aiden O'Connell to start, the Chiefs get the offense going. Kelce and Mahomes hook up for two touchdowns. I'm going to give you two touchdowns on the day for Kelce and Mahomes. DeAndre Hopkins has another red zone score. The running game gets big games all afternoon and puts up close to 200 yards on the ground. The defense finally plays like they did last year in the beginning of this year. There will be multiple Raider turnovers. Chris Jones finally breaks the 7-week drought, gets his sack, and gets AOC to the ground a couple of times on Sunday as a whole unit. Chiefs win 35-3. Coupled with the Dolphins' loss on Thursday, they lock up a playoff berth for the 11th time in Andy's 12 seasons as the Chiefs head coach.
Well, I'll add this, my last in the script prediction. It's on a streaming service, but it's not Netflix, so I think the connection issues are fine.
Are fine. That's exactly right. Amazon does a nice job with that. You don't have to worry about it.
That is what's in the script.
Yeah, all brought to you by the good folks over at Foaling. If you're looking for something to do this holiday weekend, you got the family in town, go to foalingkc.com, reserve a lane. You'll have the best time of your life. You'll get out of the house. You'll burn the calories. You'll have the fun. Everybody will love it. It is football plus bowling plus bar, and that equals Foaling Warehouse, Kansas City. You're throwing a football, bowling pins. You're having world-class drinks, and you're enjoying the time of your life, baby.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. When you look at like this game against the Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs in this matchup, I don't necessarily think that like there's a lot of times where the Chiefs get petty after a loss because obviously they just kind of move on. They're better than everybody else. They don't let like, you know, little things bother them. But I think that this is like one of those things where it's like, you know, last year, Christmas Day in front of the home crowd really kind of got us into our own element after that loss. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of, you know, hey, we're gonna get out here early and let you kind of know. Like by 4 o'clock, I'd like to know where this game's at.
I you know, that's the feeling that I'm getting right now, right? Like the pettiness. Like they're not like, again, somebody told me inside that locker room, they felt like it was a loss to the Carolina Panthers. And so they are mad. And when this team gets mad, it's like the Incredible Hulk. You wouldn't like me when I'm mad. And so I think they're going to show out. Like they're still mad about Christmas Day. And I hope it's one of those games where the Raiders stomped on the logo and then we went like 55-0 type of game. Mm-hmm. Like that's the type of game I'm feeling in my bones. Now I could be completely wrong and they win this game 17-14 or something like that. But I think this is the game where Mahomes gets the blow, because even he was talking about it, right? Like, and when he starts talking about stuff, I listen, you know? It's not like just a generic player.
Well, it's like the Alex Gordon effect.
Yeah.
You know, when he says certain things, like, oh, that's got Alex getting going after it, like, hang on.
Yeah, and so, like, Mahomes is not happy. Again, reports where it felt like a loss inside that locker room after the game.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like they were satisfied with that game. Like, that feels like the gut punch that they needed that spins everything in the right direction. It just happened to come off a win, which is even better, but it still feels like that was the gut punch that this team needed, and now they can take that next step. Did you see what happened after the game, by the way? It was making its way around the other day. Kid fell out of the stands, and Turk Wharton caught him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hit that little gap in the railing and fell, and boom.
And the kid,
they had him on a McAfee show
talking about it. I saw that yesterday.
Good for him.
Did you listen
good
to
reactions.
The, did you listen to the Southern accent on the
I didn't
usher?
Hear it. I just
oh, my God. It's so good.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it's so good. It is like the best Southern accent that I've ever heard on that video. This is why you can't be here, he's saying. Like, kid fell out of the stands. Turk Wharton caught him. Hero of the day.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to our cover two, plus one of the turkeys we talked about earlier is just gobbling along in Dallas, and I'll explain what I mean by that here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. The orange warm habaneros. It's the best thing I could do with the red hot chili pepper synonym. You know people that can't say cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
It's a tough one.
Sometimes, yeah, it
cinnamon,
is.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. Try saying Detroit Red Wings without thinking about it. It's hard to say that too. Or frequent parker program like we have at Park and Go. I always like have to pause for a second, say frequent parker program. But if you say Detroit Red Wings, you know, sometimes you get a little tongue tied.
You sound like Sheldon's nerd friend from Big Bang Theory. Wobot Wars. I've only seen a couple episodes of that show, I promise.
I don't know if that's one I've ever really seen anything of. My kids like, what's the one, the spinoff that they have?
Young Sheldon?
Yeah.
I've never seen the second of that show.
Yeah.
That seems like it's trash.
I don't know. They love it. You know, they're also kids, you know.
I just saw they're getting ready to release a Dexter prequel series.
Oh, really?
Kind of interested in that. Which I think we already know how that goes. Apparently, he's still alive, living in the mountains.
There was a tweet today that I wanted to ask you guys both about that I thought was very interesting. If you could choose, which TV series would you erase from your memory so you could watch it again as if it was the first time? Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, The Wire, or Mad Men? I've never seen Mad Men.
What?
I've only seen one of those. It was Breaking Bad, and it would be my choice out of any TV show.
Yeah, for sure. I just watched Aaron Paul's acceptance speech of winning Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, and it like took me back. I'm like, man, am I going to do this again? But I've watched Breaking Bad all the way through three times.
See, I've watched it once, and that's it. And one of the first comments on that thread was kind of where I am. Like, you know what's coming, but when you watch it for the first time, and you like, we watched it during COVID every day. I never had to like walk away from a TV show, go outside, take a deep breath, or go run, or like to, like I lived that TV show during the COVID year of 2020. Like every single day, we watched episodes. That it was as intense a show as I've ever been a part of, and I loved every minute.
You're lucky because you had every episode available to you.
Yeah,
the way they did it is they did the final season, split it in half, so like you had to wait a year after Hank reads the book on the crapper.
Oh, no kidding?
Wow. No,
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, so when he opens it up and sees that it's Gale's writing in the book, you're like, and he looks up at the camera, you're like, no!
Oh, no way.
Full year.
A full year.
Yeah, welcome to
my struggle. God. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I binged the show right before the last half of the last season came out, so I luckily didn't have to, like, it was
ready to go.
The process of airing, like, as I was.
Tough, dude. It's so tough.
That first run of Breaking Bad is like,
it's great.
It's magical. I'm not a big TV guy at all, but
I'm with you.
You had to tear yourself away from it.
It's Breaking Bad, so not even close.
And for
me, you do need to watch it all the way through again because you'll start to pick up on things where you're like, okay.
All right, yeah. So there's like Easter eggs and things hidden there or something.
Or
like
there's
that,
just like it adds up. Like you, like when Pinkman's out waiting for the vacuum guy and he opens up his pack of Parma lights and looks down and like sees it. And he's like, dude, he tried to kill that kid.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Okay, all right, all
and
right.
And then you remember because you watch it when they're, like, cleaning the house, and you, like, realize, like, oh, okay, now I get it. And you kind of, you see Todd come along. You're like, man, I hate this guy already. I should have known that he was this, you know, weirdo that loved Lydia.
Oh, okay, all right. So go back and rewatch it. But, man, it was like.
And you'll notice that Todd uses all his outfits. He tries to impersonate, basically, Walter White's outfits. Like, he wears the khaki pants, the shirts, and stuff like that. You need to watch it again.
All right, I'll go watch it again. It's worth it again to do it. Like even though you know.
Kind of fast forward through the scenes, like you don't want to see like Flynn like get mad at his parents. You're like, all right, this is dumb. Yeah. I don't need to see like Jesse and his girlfriend like banging it out on heroin. Like I don't even fast forward through all that. So I mean, like you don't have to necessarily like sit and watch every single second.
Sure,
but it's like you know, I mean, it's definitely worth a rewatch.
I never had a relationship with a TV show like that. Right, like Seinfeld is my all-time love and whatnot, but I never had the relationship with the characters like I did with Breaking Bad. Like it felt like, and again, we were on lockdown, of course, wearing masks and staying 6 feet away from everybody. I felt like at that point in time when I was watching that show, like I was living the show. I was in the show. And maybe because it was locked out and we were all separated from everybody. So you form these bonds with these fictional characters. I don't know if that's the way they created that show to have that. But like, I'm not going to lie. I cried when Walter White died. And like, am I supposed to be rooting for this guy? You know,
he's the evilest person on the show.
But he's also one of the like. You understand why he did what he did at the beginning because he's trying to, you know, for his family, right? I mean, so it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, it's such a type of show for me. I got to take a deep breath and think about it. And
I feel like with Game of Thrones, I would just want to, like, erase my mind from episodes. Like, I would love to go, like, Men in Black, erase the memory, and watch the Red Wedding episode again. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because I remember I nerded out and read the books, and I remember I read that chapter over. I was like, no, that's not what just happened. And then, of course, I've told the story 100,000, 50 million times. I used to watch it with people that were into the show, like four or five people. And like,
they come over in costume?
No. And I knew what was coming, and I just sat back, like, you know, popcorn ready to see her. But I mean, I didn't even like really hardly watch the TV as much as I watched reactions. Like, one of my buddies got up, he's like, dude, I can't do this show anymore. I'm like, we're only in season three. You got a whole lot more coming.
If I'm not mistaken, that was like Ned Yost's favorite show. And I think it was the one he talked about, like he would be on the treadmill for hours watching Game of Thrones, you know, on the treadmill as he was
little
walking.
Nugget about Mad Men, John Hamm, right? University of Columbia. They only could shoot him from the waist up.
Why?
He's very talented southwise, and he has to wear those old 1950s suits, and they're very slim.
No way.
True story. Look it up. John Hamm.
I don't want to look it up. I just want to believe that. And the other thing about Breaking Bad.
It's believable.
Like, after the show was over, was that like that year, I believe, that Cranston and Pinkston came out with the mezcal. Their mezcal. Mm-hmm. I ordered a case of that from someplace in California during COVID. They had it shipped to the house. I'm like, I'm in on everything that Breaking Bad is doing.
Another little Breaking Bad nugget. I told you I've watched this thing three times all the way through. The pizza scene where he throws on the roof.
Yeah.
One take.
I've heard that.
Yep.
Yeah.
One take. And then people would have to, they would drive by that house constantly in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Just like to see where
I heard they shut the street down.
Probably. And then you can have the house in Home Alone for $5.3 million.
I've been there in front of that house. Yeah, it's cool. Like
40 minutes away from Chicago, right? So you got a suburb outside.
It was. We were there on New Year's Eve of 21, I think, going into 20, like whenever Betty White died. And we're like, let's just go check it out, right? We're up there seeing some friends in Chicago. We went by the Home Alone house. It's cool.
All right. Cover two. Bob, what are you covering this weekend?
Well, it's going to start on Thursday, and I didn't think I'd be in on this Miami-Green Bay game on Thanksgiving night. I figured, well, you're wrapping up and all that kind of stuff. It's done, you know, for the evening. The dishes and the food and all, wrapping up your party and sending everybody on their way. But I'm going to be the biggest Green Bay fan on Thursday night, because if the Packers win, all the Chiefs have to do on Sunday is get a victory over the Raiders, and they've clinched a playoff spot. And so the implications of that Miami-Green Bay game, all of a sudden yesterday when you sent me that text when I was over at Hy-Vee, I'm like, oh my goodness, this game means something on Thanksgiving night. Go Packers! So I'm going to be watching that game because of the implications it's going to have. And then the other game for me probably wasn't going to be dialed in, but then I found out, Blizzard. San Francisco at Buffalo, Sunday night football. Find me a more perfect way to end Thanksgiving weekend and start the month of December than with a blizzard game in Buffalo on national TV on Sunday night, right? That's going to be just aesthetically pleasing to everybody. So I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Nathan?
So first of all, I'm covering Arizona and Minnesota. Arizona, the Cardinals are 6-5. Uh-huh. They just snapped a four-game winning streak last week. If they can avoid a losing streak and they get back on track with a win against Minnesota, they could move, depending on the results of that snow game, to two games up on the Niners, chance to play Seattle again. We could be talking about the three seed in the NFC with the Arizona Cardinals. And Minnesota, I think they are what the media says the Chiefs are. They're barely squeaking by all these terrible teams. They're going to get in. They're compiling wins. They're not apologizing for it, but I do think they're maybe a little bit fraudulent. Other game I'm covering is 3:30 Thursday afternoon. Cooper Rush. Is it going to be Tommy DeVito? Is it going to be Drew? No, I can't do it. I am covering myself. Am I going to make it to halftime of that game? Am I going to see Lainey Wilson perform or not?
Hopefully. She's a babe.
It's my cover two.
My cover two is, I mean, maybe the obvious in the room when it comes to what these games are. Bears-Lions on Thanksgiving. It's really the only game outside of, I guess, maybe a little bit of that Dolphins-Packers game because of what Bob reasons for it, which makes me think to myself, would you rather have Jordan Love or Tua Tagovailoa?
Jordan Love.
Okay, fair enough. But Bears-Lions, trap game for the Bear or for the Lions? I don't know. Lions are always good on Thanksgiving is what we always are told. The Lions are favored by 10 points in this game.
That's amazing.
Since they have departed ways with their offensive coordinator, the Bears' offense looks like it has a little bit of life. Caleb Williams was good last week, 340 yards. I get it, they still lost, but it looks like they're starting to simplify things for the rookie quarterback. Can he have this big win of his career early on? Is this a big-time moment for Caleb Williams? It's big-time primetime. It's a traditional-style game for Detroit. Division game, on the road. Big dogs, Detroit again, hanging 10 points in this game in Vegas. So we'll see what happens, but this is a division game, and we know they get weird unless it's Vegas and the Chiefs, where the Chiefs blow them out. Sorry, text line. I'm not giving in to you. I don't think it's a close game, but I think
which one? The Chiefs game or the?
Yeah, they're like, come on, guys, don't fall for it. It's a division game. You know they get weird. 28-26 Chiefs. Maybe.
I mean, you're probably more right than we are.
Yeah, and we'll own that. And then my other game is, I mean, an absolute banger on Sunday night to finish the weekend.
That's
off.
Right.
Philly versus Baltimore. Philly at the Ravens. The obvious reasons: Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. The comparisons are always there. They're both the same kind of style of quarterback.
Is this a Super Bowl preview?
I don't think so.
No.
The running backs, man. Number one and number two in rushing yards. Derrick Henry versus Saquon Barkley. Both have cases to be the MVP of the league. I think if Saquon Barkley does break the single season rushing record, he could get it. But again, Josh Allen is the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP award. But if Saquon beats that rushing record, there's a chance, but it's a lot of yards to go, and that would make him the MVP. Also, this is a game of position of strength. Philadelphia looks great. I think they could beat Detroit. I think they're Detroit's biggest competition in the NFC. I think we could see that game in the NFC Championship game, but a position of strength. If Philly goes in there and mollywops the Baltimore Ravens, everyone's going to be like, all right, yeah, the Ravens beat the Chargers, but when they play these good teams like the Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles, they lose. This is another big game moment for Lamar Jackson.
Sure it is.
We know he can't beat the Chiefs. We know he can't beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can he win a non-conference game and a non-divisional game at home on Sunday Night Football against another team that's playing very, very well? This is a big game. A big game for the quarterbacks, a big game for the running backs, and a big position of strength game. My cover two, Bears, Lions, Philly, and Baltimore.
And I think also, regardless of what happens in that game, Philadelphia media will be calling for Nick Sirianni to be fired. They're 10-2, sir. That stinks. I've been torn on this MVP thing for the last couple of days because I can make a case for about four people to win the MVP, and I always like do the say it out loud test. The MVP, the most valuable person to the success of their team, is kind of how I look at the MVP. Well, I mean, are the Bills 8-2 without Josh Allen?
No.
Are the Ravens considered one of the better teams without Lamar Jackson?
No.
Are the Ravens as good this year without Derrick Henry?
They were better last year.
Okay.
Technically, if right. We're going record-wise.
Yeah, record-wise. I'm just asking the question because I'm trying to talk myself into something here.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Eagles as good a team without Saquon Barkley on their team?
No.
Right? So I think then, based on the way you answered those questions, and we'll just go with the way you answered them, then I think it's between Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley for your MVP. Because you got two people on Baltimore, and Lamar and Derrick Henry, that have both really contributed to the success of that team.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're willing to say, like, and I don't think the Giants are much better with Saquon Barkley. That's a product of the team. So when everybody goes, oh, the Giants got rid of him, they're still a bad football team with Saquon Barkley. They don't have a quarterback. So I think it comes down to Josh Allen or Saquon Barkley for the MVP. Nathan, you're kind of looking at me. You're the lawyer. You make cases all the time. Where do you lie on this one? Dusty, where do you lie? Text line, where do you lie on that one?
Yeah, I get to the same conclusion, but I take a little bit different route. So I think, unfortunately, the MVP is who had the best season numbers-wise, and that's about all the context that goes into it.
Because people are so short-sighted.
Sure, and I look at the American League MVP, and the Yankees had the MVP and also the third place finisher in Juan Soto. And it's like, I get that Aaron Judge had the most home runs and the biggest numbers, but didn't he then, by definition, have the best number two in the league as well? So who is more valuable to that team in the sense of if you take them off the team? Well, the Yankees with out Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are probably better than the Royals without Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
Not saying Bobby Witt should have won the MVP, but I don't think it gets looked at from that angle more off enough.
I know it doesn't. No, I know it doesn't. Because honest to God, and I'm sorry to butt in here for a second, Patrick Mahomes is still the quarterback of a 10-1 football team. And this team is not 10-1 without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, what did Mitch say? They won 8 of their 10 games by one possession. You're not winning those games with a neophyte at quarterback.
It's the Andy Reid coach of the year argument. I mean, we bump our heads into it all the time. The reason that I then remove Lamar from the conversation is this would be his third. I think someone else like Josh Allen would get a legacy award. Here's your MVP that we all know you're eventually going to win before Lamar gets his third. So I do think Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley for me.
Yeah, you look at Saquon Barkley, man, and it's tough because you see how the Giants have failed miserably. And it's because they don't have an offensive line. Like, their quarterback probably plays a little bit better than I think he was advertised. I know Daniel Jones is, you know, on a lot of people's bottom feeder list. But, I mean, look, Saquon Barkley leaves the Giants and goes to Philadelphia that has a decent, good offensive line, and he's destroyed people. I mean, he single-handedly won that game on Sunday night versus the Rams. Like, he had 255 rushing yards and 57, I believe, receiving yards. Had 300 all-purpose yards. He's been a stud. He's been probably, man, individually the best player in the league this year. It's just tough that this award is wrapped up in quarterbacks. And, again, you bring up other stats, like Josh Allen could clinch his division in week 13 with the Buffalo Bills. Who is their number one receiver? I mean, I know Amari Cooper's there. They got, you know, other guys are there, but like nobody really, they're not household names. They don't have a household name running back. I mean, Cook's good, but like you're not going to like LA and being like, so what's, what do you think about the Bills running back? They're like, who is it again? And their defense is still good, but it's not the defense they've had in the past. And what Joe Brady and Josh Allen are doing is fantastic, and they're doing it in the AFC, not the NFC. Now, again, semantics here, which one's stronger, which one's better, but with the award going to the quarterback in a year where Josh Allen's never gotten the opportunity to win the MVP because Mahomes and Lamar, again, not our fault, but I just think that with it being a quarterback award, with what the record is and why their record is who they are, like Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Saquon Barkley is a lot loaded than Josh Allen and co.
Right.
So I think you put a little bit of favoritism into Josh Allen. I think he deserves it. I think they both deserve it. But I think with what the award goes to and what the award stands for, it's Josh Allen's hands down.
Okay. So let me just one more on this and we can move on, because I know we're kind of tired about these awards, especially after the Deion Sanders outburst yesterday, which is well deserved. Do you think the three of us just spent more time having a conversation about who should win the MVP than people who actually vote for the MVP?
Say that again. Do you think
that we, the three of us, just had a longer and more in-depth conversation about who should win the MVP than the people who actually vote for the MVP?
No.
You don't think so?
Because I think it's funny to have that thought, but no, I don't think so.
Because I think a lot of these guys,
voters look at WAR,
yeah,
which is fine, but it's lacking context. In the NFL, I mean, maybe not. I know you're being hyperbolic.
If they looked at WAR, there'd be more than two votes for Bobby Wood Jr.
Yeah,
or more than zero.
But no, sure, I mean, because I know how they do it. They send a ballot out, people just vote. Do you think like every NFL voter is actually going through the steps and really truly thinking about who they're going to cast their MVP? I personally don't, but that's just me.
I think the quarterback on the few best teams are the only ones that get consideration. And I think this year, Dusty just talked about the narrative of Mahomes and Lamar have blocked Josh Allen. He's also going to get boosted on the narrative that won Mahomes his last MVP, which was, look, you remove Tyreek Hill, he doesn't miss a beat. I know he's got Amari Cooper and a couple of good tight ends, but I do think he's going to be a big benefactor of, you took Stephon Diggs out of the offense, he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
I really think they would have to collapse for him not to win this MVP just because it is a quarterback award.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, the fact that we're not mentioning Patrick Mahomes and they're 10-1 and he's on wide receiver 4, 5, and 6 at this point in time and lost his running back no left tackle.
Let's see how he does in these final six.
Yeah.
If he's doing what he's been doing, like the numbers you gave on Monday where he's, 12?
12 touchdowns and no interceptions in the last 5 games or something like that.
He had two interceptions. We had two in the Buffalo game. But I mean, if he keeps those numbers up and like ends up, you know, big numbers in the season when you're playing the Chargers, you're playing the
Steelers,
you're playing the Browns, you play the Texans and the Broncos again and Vegas, and you go 16-1, and there'll be a discussion.
There will be, and there should be.
Patrick Mahomes could take the MVP away from Josh Allen with 13 seconds left in the regular season. By the way, some stats to give you. The Lions' record on Thanksgiving, 37-45-2. The Cowboys' record on Thanksgiving, 33-22-1. Lions are favored by 10. Dallas is favored by 3.5. So,
if I was Vegas, I wouldn't even put a line on that game with the Giants and Cowboys. You guys do whatever you want here.
What's the over-under of time you fall asleep for the 30 minutes on that game?
Oh, I mean, what time does that game start? 3?
3:30, I think.
3:30. I'd be right in the middle of eating. Probably about halftime.
Oof. Let's see. Just double check. 3:30. 11:30, 3:30, 7:20. Why not just make it 7:30 and just keep the 30s?
Got to get to your late local news.
All right. Well, boo on them. I'll play that Deion Sanders cut on the other side, and we'll talk a little bit about some family traditions during Thanksgiving. What are yours, and what are some, of course, Some of yours on the text line, 913-586-7965. Invite me into your home. I want to know what your family traditions are on Thanksgiving. Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Out here in the fields, on the airwaves of 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty with you on a Wednesday before Thursday. I'm confused.
It's Wednesday.
But isn't it Black Friday, but also Red Friday? So which one is it?
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's against the Raiders, so it's red.
Okay, but it's also a Black Friday game.
Yeah.
I have gone cross-eyed. 913-586-7965. We asked you what are your family traditions on Thanksgiving. I think everybody has, like, some that are different. Like, I know our boss, Steven Spector, says they'll do, like, a wine time and crumpets, right? Or whatever they said that they do.
I think they do outfit changes. That's how it is. Like, they have an appetizer outfit, then mm-hmm. they change, and they have their meal, and they have their dessert outfit, and they mix in a mousse-bouche along the way, which I don't know what that is.
And maybe some of your traditions is food. Maybe, you know, somebody always brings, like, a hash brown casserole, or they make, you know, grandma's green bean casserole. And the reason that we bring up this sort of thing with traditions, because I was talking to my buddy last night and I was like, yeah, there's this article going around that's, you know, got this has, again, 19.8 million views, and it came out on November 25th. And the average cost of Thanksgiving dinner estimated at $58.08 for a 10-person gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It has dropped 5% since last year, the lowest since way back in 2021, $58.08. And so we're going back
to feed how many people?
A person of 10 gathering.
Okay.
Or a 10-person gathering, if my dyslexia could fix itself.
Yeah.
But the thing is that spitballing this back and forth with my buddy Brian last night, and I'm like, you know, $58, I don't really know the going rate for a turkey. But let's say it's, I'm going to get crushed here on the text. Let's say it's $20, $25, guys, way more than that.
I think it just depends. Like, you know, Hy-Vee had the buy a ham, get a turkey free or okay. vice versa type deal and whatnot. I think like a 20-pound turkey is roughly the size that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you figure like $1.50 a pound, maybe. Again, I'm going to get crushed on it as well.
Yeah.
For that, because we're going to Smokehouse and we're getting turkeys there. So, you know, it's going to be outstanding. But I was at Hy-Vee yesterday and I was shopping the aisles and going up and down and looking at stuff. And I'm like,
this says turkeys are 6% cheaper than last year this year.
Okay. Great.
So,
yeah.
Whatever that means.
I mean, I have a friend that owns a turkey farm. We could have called her and found that to be the case. But I think it's
Jimmy Gobble.
No, it's not. It's Chrissy Sauter. It's all about how you shop, though, right? Like if you want to go out there and get the highest of high end stuff, well, then that obviously is not, you know, the price it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go out there and fix a good meal, you can do that, man. Like I said, I was at Hy-Vee yesterday, and there were really, really, really good prices on everything at Hy-Vee, as there always are. And I'm like, the one thing I noticed were, like, you know, you can buy your cans of green beans for like under 60 cents a can right now. It's a great deal. So yeah. I'm thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, you could probably do something about that. You know, potatoes aren't that expensive.
Yeah. Cause like basically what you could do is like, cause that's why we bring up traditions, because you know, if you think about Thanksgiving dinner, if you wanted to keep it simplistic, like you had mentioned the Hy-Vee and the prices of stuff, like mm-hmm. you could get the off brand, like you'd mentioned, and you know, get a can of green beans, a can of cream mushroom soup, cheap onion straws, green bean casserole. Right?
Done.
Like,
yeah.
Simplistic. It's easy. It's there. Stovetop stuffing. Was it $1.88, $2 or something like that? And then the turkey's the big grab, right? And then you can do, you know, you could buy, like, if you wanted to do yams instead of mashed potatoes, you would do mashed potatoes. Gravy's cheap,
yeah,
right?
It's like
flour, butter, and bouillon if you want to use that.
Yeah.
So you think about it, it's like, yeah, technically, you probably could feed a family of 10 for $58.08
mm-hmm.
If you just went, you know, turkey, green bean casserole, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
Right.
Right? But people have traditions.
Sure,
like somebody's got to go get that Costco pie. Somebody's going to get that, you know, Hy-Vee dessert that comes out every year during Thanksgiving, or the Hy-Vee chocolate chip cookies that'll make me just...
Oh, I bought them yesterday for the game. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I like
they're
they
so
were
soft
on
and like,
sale. Oh. It was like, okay, I got to get them. And I get gas points. Let's go.
I'd have to buy two boxes. I get the assorted ones.
That's what
like
I got.
The Snickerdoodle M&M and chocolate
chip. It had M&M. It had chocolate chip. And I think, yeah, it was like, yeah.
Snickerdoodle?
I think so. I just saw the package of cookies. I'm like, I got to buy these. These look so good. Oh, my God.
You better believe it.
Yep.
You better keep that one.
Yeah, the Hy-Vee Bakery, man. They had these cinnamon rolls that were the size of your head yesterday. I'm like, oh God, I need some of those too.
I still love the bread that's in the aluminum foil bag you just put in your oven.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, man.
Yes.
Like, you make spaghetti and meatballs or whatever Italian dish, I will always go get that aluminum bread. That's what I call it.
That butter substance that they put on there.
I don't know what it is, but it's great. Cut it in half, the little slivers. Mm. But do you have any traditions? Like, is there
yelling,
something?
Yeah, yelling at each other.
You yell.
Yeah, everybody yells at my house.
But you're not going away this year.
No, we're not. No, but so nobody's going to yell, which is good. I think, honestly, our biggest tradition has always been the stuffing. And, you know, my grandmother made it. My mother makes it. I make it now. The kids love it. Like, everybody looks forward to it. You start gearing up for it. And then you realize why you have it once a year. You know, because everything that goes into it. Yeah, the sausage, the bread, the butter, the this, the that, the other. I mean, like, you just continue to go. So that's always been one, you know, for us. It's kind of, you know, been that and doing it at my parents' house. But, you know, this year's been, you know, a hectic year for us. And so, you know, we just, you know, call off the jam this year for Thanksgiving and we'll regroup next year for that. And I was going to tell my mother, I said, I'm going to miss being with everybody, but I'm not going to miss the travel. Now, the other tradition is flying in smokehouse turkeys to New Jersey for my parents. They arrived yesterday.
On the front step?
On the front step, man. Yeah. They got them. And they are so happy with the turkeys. That's why we get them every year from smokehouse, because they're outstanding.
Nathan, do you have a tradition that your family does or anybody that around your family does, anything like that?
Smoked turkeys are the best. My family's luckily pretty mellow on Thanksgiving, right? Christmas is a whole different story. Mm-hmm. Got to get together with all the siblings. Like, which side are you going to on what day? You got like 17 Christmas celebrations. It's Thanksgiving. I see one side of the family. Everyone there is like personable, non-controversial, as we talked
That's
about
good.
Earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a whole lot to write home about. I'll be going out to, you know, the other side of the family in Western Kansas with my girlfriend over the weekend. First time with them. Don't know anything about the situation.
Are you going or you are going?
We are going.
You are going.
This next weekend.
Okay,
yes.
Where in Western Kansas?
I couldn't tell you the town, man.
I mean, anything west of Lawrence is considered. I consider Tonganoxie Western Kansas.
Lawrence of Arabia?
It is. Gosh, it's like 4 hours away from here, man.
That could be anywhere. You better start doing
your
research.
We are in north central Kansas.
And this is the first time meeting them?
I've met some of the family that lives like in the Manhattan, Kansas area, but we're going to the big thing. So yeah, that'd be my new tradition.
There booze allowed at this thing?
I don't think so.
Going to be some chicken biscuit crackers and some cashews.
Yeah, cashews, chicken and biscuit, a can of cheese.
Mine is at my dad's house. My stepmom will always make the turkey. She geeks out during the holiday, and he'll carve it. Like, that's his job.
Yeah.
She'll come in, she'll be like, it's ready. I'm like, all right. So he goes in there, got the 1990 Betty Crocker.
Oh, I got that knife. It's great. You use it once a year.
Never broke down yet.
All right.
And then at my mom, she would usually make, no longer with us, but she would make a cheese ball. Nobody wants to do that anymore, so it died with mom. We're good with that.
We don't need that.
And then my aunt comes in town from Nixa, and she makes this like marshmallow strawberry salad. It's really good. It's like a pink goop. And I know that's weird.
No, it's an old Jell-O mold salad that we had in the
80s. I don't know why it's good, but I eat it.
Because it's Jell-O and whipped cream.
And marshmallows and like chunks of fruit.
Why is that good? I don't know why this is good.
I don't know.
Here's a bowl of sugar that we're calling a salad.
It's really refreshing after you've had an amount, you gorge yourself in salt and carbs and all that, and you get this like light, fluffy, sugary eruption.
It makes your teeth hurt by like the second bite, though.
Yeah, it locks your jaw, dude. For sure.
You
gotta
go to the dentist the next day and get your teeth cleaned professionally after chowing down.
And I think there's always like an old fashioned for me that gets poured at the end of the night when I get home.
Okay.
So I'll do that a lot because it's, and we'll talk about like staples and stuff like that as well. But for me, like I do like having that end of the day, like the,
it's over.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, so. Especially like when you're bouncing from house to house. I'm very fortunate. I've never had that situation. My parents, you know, didn't get divorced, so we never had to do that. I can't imagine.
That's tough.
It's like, tough. Like seriously, like because no matter what you do, somebody's not going to be happy. Right? You spent more time at your mom's and you're, you know, and, okay.
I heard that a lot from the old lady back in the day.
I'm sure you did.
I thought the Smith Center, Kansas.
Oh, Smith Center, Kansas. No way. That's the home of Mitch Holthus. We go there every April. You're going to Smith Center. I'm you need to go to Pooch's.
Pooch's.
Pooch's. Get Mitch back on the line.
Coach was Pooch's.
No, we didn't meet him there. We pretended he was there. But yes. But yeah, you need to go to Pooch's in Smith Center. They got a Casey's at Smith Center. It's outstanding. Mm. And then you've got to go. Barber, I know you're listening, my man. What's the name of the drive? Why am I blanking on the drive-thru in Smith Center?
Mm. Some traditions from the text line. My wife makes family makes a frozen cocktail called The Recipe.
Oh, God.
They just get drunk and loud. When all our family were together, we would play Monopoly every evening, but my mom would, being 100% Greek, change the Monopoly night to Tripoli night. So she could gamble? Our family tradition is to get blacked out hammered. Praise be. And someone says, you can't make breakfast for $58.
Sure you can. It's what you want to make, right?
$1.09 a pound is what the turkeys cost.
Okay.
So there you go. Biggest tradition is watching my two aunts get drunk.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not
Jiffy Burger. That's where you need to go. Smith Center. Jiffy Burger. That's about it. We just gave you the rundown of Smith Center. Great place, great people. Ask him about the cabin. You go see the Home on the Range cabin where L. Dean Holthus works. That's Mitch's dad. He'll give you the tour.
Is
talking about Smith Center or Clay Center?
Smith Center, I'm talking
Smith
about.
Smith Center, okay.
Yeah, if you're talking about Clay Center, then we're not talking about the same place.
No, we are not. I'm familiar with Clay Center.
Yeah, but okay. No, but Smith Center, you got to go tour the Home on the Range cabin. Every year we do a fundraiser for the Home on the Range cabin. It's great. Pickleball tournament out there. So and then go to the high school and look at Mitch's high school picture.